Hashem el Moshe lemor, daber el acharon v'amarta, elav behalotcha et hanerot v'gomer. Rabbi Yehuda patach v'hu kechatan, yotze mechupato v'gomer. Zaka hola kehon de Israel de kucha berichu itre bechon v'yachav lechon oraita dikshot ilana dechaye dibe barnash yarit chayin lechay alma v'chayin lealma diate dekol man di ishtadal bioraita v'yachid ba'it lecheyin v'kol man di shavik mila dioraita v'it barash meoraita v'ilu mit barash machayin begin de ha'chayin v'kol Milo chayin hahidiktiv, ki chayim chem v'gomer uktiv rifuot tehi l'sharecha v'gomer. And Hashem spoke to Moses, speak to Aaron and say to him, when you kindle the lamps. Rabbi Yehuda opened the discussion saying, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. Praised is the lot of Israel, that the Holy One, blessed be He, favored them and granted them the truth, the Torah of truth, a tree of life by which a person inherits life for this world and the world, life for the world to come. Whoever tries to learn Torah and holds to her has life. Whoever leaves the words of the Torah and separates from the Torah is as if he took leave of life, since she is life and her all her words are life, as it is written, for they are life. I shall be health to your navel. The Zohar normally starts out a section by bringing a lot of different verses that you don't really see how they're connected. Here you can see how they're connected because they're speaking of the Torah, they're speaking of life, the tree of life, they're speaking about lighting and lighting candles, that of the menorah. So you can see where their connection is related. But It still is not clear exactly how they are all related. Verse 2. Tachatzi ilana dechaye achid me'ala letata v'hai shimsha denachir lekola nehora dile shari meresha Deit pashat begufa di ilana beorach mashar bet sitrin achiradan bechad letzafon bechad ledarom ad yemina bechad shemala beshata deshimsha nahir kima di itmar mehahu gufa De ilana itkif lidroa demina de anhir metukpe umitukpe nahir shemala veit kalil bin chore. Come and see, the tree of life which is there on pin is attached from above downwards. The light of the sun which is there on pin that shines upon all begins from the top, that is Chachma, Bina, and Dat, and spreads into the trunk of the tree, which is Tiferet, in a straight path. Two sides are attached to it, one to the north and one to the south. One right, which is Chesed, and one left, which is Gevurah. When the sun illuminates from the trunk of the tree, as we have learned, it first strengthens the right arm, which is Chesed. And shines with force. From that force of the right, the left illuminates, which is Gevurah, and is included in its light. Now this verse in the Zohar is the beginning, or it gives you some perception of the tree of life. Most of us are used to seeing the tree of life as that glyph, that diagram of the 10 circles and the 22 lines that connect the 10 circles. And this is called the tree of life. And we're all used to seeing it from one diagram, different shapes and sizes. But Rabbi Ashlag warns us, if you follow that glyph, you're going to be confused. You're not going to be able to understand the tree of life and connect to the tree of life in its totality. This verse in the Zohar brings some aspects of the tree of life in a verbal description. Now, not everybody learns verbally. Some people learn through sight and through vision and through expansion. And one will find that if one does the meditations that are taught in the Sefer Yetzirah, that your vision of the tree of life will be different than that of the glyph. This verse is really starting that process, and I highly recommend that you can learn some of the meditations, if not all of the meditations, that are taught from the Sefer Yetzirah. We have a series of 40 classes teaching those. I highly recommend you participate in that series of classes. Verse 3. V'hu kechatan yotze mechupato mani hu chupato dayu atara sheatra lo imo beyom chatunato yotze mechupato daihu resha tekol nechora kada'a bakdara diabatre mikce ha-shamayim motzao da-shiruta tikola tikre mikce ha-shamayim ukden Nafik bechatan mamash kad nafik la'ara lekol te rechimata denafsho upares deroo umkabela. Which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. He asks, what is his chamber? He responds, that is the crown with which his mother crowned him on the day of his wedding, which is a verse from Shir HaShirim. These are the mochin, the brains, of Chochma, Bina, and Dat, that he received from his mother, who is Bina, coming out of his chamber, that is the top of all the lights, meaning Chochma, Bina, and Dat, as you say in the following scripture, his going forth is from the end of the heaven. This is the meaning of everything that is referred to as the end of the heaven, meaning Bina, from which emerges and begins there on Pin, referred to as heavens. Then he emerges like a real bridegroom whom he goes out to meet his soul, beloved bride. He stretches out his arms, which are Chesed and Gevurah, and receives her. The verse is a bit esoteric, but I shouldn't say but. Yet if you perceive the tree of life, not so much in the glyph, but in the perception of how the upper three sephirot relate to the middle six, and even the middle six are divided or I don't want to say separated because they're not, but we in the lower levels categorize and perceive the six of Zeranpin, the six sephirot of Zeranpin, as two sets of three. Part of that understanding is that we are transforming energy to a lower level so that the physical world can receive that energy without being destroyed by the force and strength of that energy. But there's many other aspects of why there are six and how they interrelate to each other. And this verse is explaining one of them. Metaphorically, in the idea of a bridegroom leaving his mother's nest, which is Bina, and moving towards his bride, which is Malchut. Verse 4. Kehe gugavna vehu kechatan yotze mechupato azla shimsha vipashat legabe me'arav kevan de'me'arav itkariv sitar tzafon itar lekavle bekad meta vekarev le'me'arav Vizavig le biatre kimadi itmar diktiv shmo lo tachat leroshi ulvatar sitar derom dihu yumina diktiv viminu techav bekanei kidein yashis kegibor larutz Orach li'an chara, sicha rav yok buha, tachatzi b'ha'alotcha, et hanerot ilein b'tzinin, ilayin dekulhu, nechirin kachada min shimsha. Similar is the verse, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. The sun Zeranpin continues to spread to the west, which is Malchut. As soon as the west gets nearer, the north side is the first to be aroused toward it. That is Givurah, and approaches to the west. It joins it at that place. As we have learned, the beginning of Zeranpin is coupling is on the left, which is Givurah. That is the secret of reconciliation and getting permission. As is written, his left hand is under my head. Following that is the south side, which is right, meaning chesed, as it is written, and his right hand embraces me. Then it rejoices like a strong man to run a race, to illuminate the moon from the central column, that is Yesod. And this has been explained. Come and behold, when you kindle the lamps, these are the loftiest candles, which are the Sephirot of Malchut, which all shine brightly in unison from the sun, which is Zeranpin. I'm not really going to explain this particular verse, partly because the esoteric part of it would take too long to really go into. What I am going to bring is what I wrote in my email that's coming out in a few hours. because Aaron is, in this portion of the Halotcha, is lighting the menorah, which consists of seven candles. What are those seven candles? Actually, what the Kabbalists explain is that Aaron was lighting an eight-candle menorah, similar to the Hanukkiah, the candle that's lit on Hanukkah. Because Aaron is instructed to point all seven candles to the middle. But in reality, if you have three on one side and three on the other side, the seventh candle is already in the middle. So how can he point all seven candles to the middle? And that's the teaching that is available to us from Behalotcha, for us to constantly be aware of the concept of Mashiach, the concept of the full revolution or revelation of the light of Hashem in the physical world, which is what the meaning of Mashiach is. That by thinking we have the eight candle menorah, we have the ability to connect both Bina and Malchut together with the Vav of Zeranpin. And the whole idea of the left arm and the right arm of Zeranpin, Chesed and Givurah, connecting through Yesod to Malchut. This whole idea of bringing these seven together to be in unity with the eighth, which is the end of the heaven. What is the end of the heaven, as the earlier Zohar expressed? The end of the heaven is Bina. It's both the end and the beginning, because for us, Zeranpin is heaven. But there is levels above heaven. And this is what is being taught to us in these verses of the Zohar. Does anybody have any questions or comments? We finished section one. I'm going to go through section two. If you're if you're asking questions on the telephone conference, feel free to press star six if I'm not hearing you. Jack, now that you've joined us again, do you read English?
No, I've been here. I'm here the whole time. I just turn off the microphone.
Yeah, I realize.
So you don't hear me. Okay. Breathing or whatever. I don't have any questions on this section.
Section two. Happy is the people that know the joyful note. Verse five. Please note for yourselves, this title of this section, it's talking about the shofar. And the mitzvah of the shofar is not to blow the shofar, but to know the shofar. And I'm sure this section of the Zohar is going to expand on that concept. Verse 5. Rabbi Abba Patach Hashreham Yodei Teruah Hashem Bior Panecha Yechalechun Haikira Ukmuha Aval Tachatzi Sakain Inun Yisrael Dikucha Berichu Yahav Lono Raita Kadisha Violi flono arho leita becabe umitar bicude diorita lemisce pehuli almadiate vicarivlehu bishata dinafku mimitraim dehakedena peak Lon Marshuta Achara Lesalik Lon Lidachada Bishme Ukdeni Krun Bene Israel Bene Horin Mikola Delayit Yatvu Tehot Drishuta Achara Vesalik Lon Liacharada Bishmei de Salik, Al Kola de Shalit, Al Alain Vitatain. Rabbi Abba opened the discussion saying, happy is the people that know the joyful note. They shall walk, O Hashem, in the light of your countenance. This verse has been explained. However, come and see, praised are Israel, to whom the Holy One, blessed be He, gave the Holy Torah and taught His ways to adhere to Him and keep the mitzvot of the Torah in order to achieve merit through them in the world to come. And He drew them near when they came out from Egypt, since He withdrew them from another dominion and raised them to unite with His name. Only then Israel were called free men in every respect, in that they no longer sojourned under someone else's authority. He raised them to unite with His name, which is loftier above all, and has dominion over the highest and the lowest. There is so much in this verse that it's absolutely amazing. What is the name of God? God has many names, as we know. These names are attributes. But we are taught that the highest name, the name that is inclusive of all, is the Tetragrammaton, the Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. And this verse in the Zohar is teaching us that until we know this name, that we are connected to this name, we are always going to be somewhat lessened, somewhat lower. Now, we are not able to, according to the halakha, pronounce this name. And therefore, until the redemption, the final redemption, there is something missing in all of us. There is a lack that all of us feel but don't know. We're not able to put a name to it. We're not able to connect to this lack and verbalize what it is, because its fulfillment is the pronunciation of the Tetragrammaton in its unique name that was used only once a year in the temple in the Holy of Holies and only by the high priest. And yet when he would pronounce this name, that energy was made available to all of us. We lack this energy in our world today. And most of us don't even know that we have this lack. And that's what this verse in the Zohar is beginning to present to us. Verse 6. Ume go rechim uta dilchon
karalon. Do we know this name?
Yes, we know this name.
We just don't have the temple to use it in?
Nor do we have people who are cleansed sufficiently to be able to use it. We don't have the red heifer to remove the tumah of death from the people. So if someone were to say it out loud now, even if they were on top of the mount, the temple mount in Jerusalem, And even if they were standing in the place of the Holy of Holies, we haven't removed the Tumah of Death from this person. And more than likely, the saying of that name would draw an energy that would be too much for his vessel.
Okay.
Verse 6. Ume go rechi muta dilchon kara kira lon bene bekori Yisrael begavna al ila'a vekata al kol bekor dilela vetata vishara katirin Beisarin diallain, vetatain begin liapka, lon biavad, lon bene chorin, mikola viad la ba'a, kuchabrihu la milach, vila saraf elaihu, viodihaihu, Yada le'avchena u'menda kola u'mishrei asirin v'lav inun birshuta tashilaicha achara ela bide. In his love for them, he called them, Israel is my son, my firstborn, similar to the above. Like Zeron Pin that is called firstborn. He killed all the firstborn above and below, from the other side, and he loosened and untied the knots and shackles, which the Egyptians tied, so that Israel would not be able to leave Egypt in order to take them out. He made them free of everything. Thus the Holy One, blessed be He, did not wish to take them out through an angel, through a seraph, but only through he himself. Moreover, only he could distinguish between a firstborn and a non-firstborn, and know everything and release the bond. It is not within the authority of any other emissary, but rather in his hand. We have midrashim that teach that there was really no slavery in the context of the images that are portrayed in the movies and the images the way the children are taught in Hebrew school and Sunday school. The bondage was the fact that we needed to reveal energy and share that energy with our masters. The masters were the Egyptians. And the Egyptians, through their magic, had created conditions that would not allow a Jewish soul to leave Egypt. And that's what this verse in the Zohar is referring to. The knots and all of the different shackles that kept Jewish people in Egypt. Even if they wanted to leave, they could not because of these energies in the spiritual frame that had been put there by the Egyptian magic. And God came down. He could have sent an angel for everything except one thing. Only God is capable of discerning between a firstborn human being and a non-firstborn human being. And so God came down himself because he wanted to. And from the Egyptian side, the death of the firstborn, which was taking place on that evening at midnight, the evening of Passover, the evening of the Pesach, the first Pesach in Egypt, God came down and discerned between who was a firstborn and who was not. And as part of that, he removed all of the shackles in the spiritual frame above us so that the Jewish people could be redeemed, could leave Egypt without having to cross these barriers that had been there for the last 200 years or so. Verse 7. Tachatzi behahu lelya deva'a kudshabarichu lekat la kolinun bikore kimadit mar bishata deramash lelya atu mizamrin izamra kame amarlum lalidan hudeha Shirata Hara Mizamrin Bene Biara Bisha Atad It Palig Lelia It Aruach Safon Vaku Chabarihu Kidena Vad Nukmin Israel Avdin Shirata Bekoram Ukdain avad lon b'nei chorin mikola umalachin ila'a v'kol mishar rayan kulhu chavot saitin lechon lekal lechon d'Yisrael batar dit gazaru reshimu levatechon mehahu Damau mi dama, de pischal bitrulat, reshimin al hamashkof, vi al shate hamzuzot. Come and see, on the night that the Holy One, blessed be He, wanted to slaughter all these firstborn, as we have learned, the singers came to sing for Him when night fell. The Holy One, blessed be He, told them that the time was not opportune to sing any song, since the inhabitants of the earth were singing another song. At midnight, the north wind was stirring, and the Holy One, blessed be He, was wreaking vengeance for Israel. Israel were singing their song with loud voices, and at that moment, He made them free from everyone. The supernal angels in all the highest camps together were listening to the voices of Israel after they were circumcised and marked their houses with that blood and the blood of the Paschal Lamb with the three marks upon the door frame and on the two side posts, the lintel and the two side posts. Just to help people understand this verse, at midnight, every night, there's a change of watches of the angels, and the angels start singing praises to Hashem because mercy has come back into the world. There's Gibberah because it's nighttime. It started at noon, but at midnight, it transforms back into Chesed. And the angels start singing their praises to Hashem. There are angels who sing earlier. But that particular night of the redemption from Egypt, God said to the angels, it's not time to sing. Because the world, the physical human beings, were singing two different songs. And the angels, who can only do one thing at a time, were not able to know what song they were to be singing. The two songs that the humans were singing was a lament for the dead by the Egyptians because their firstborn died. And there was no family in Egypt that did not have a firstborn due to the merit of the Jewish people. It's not like in our world today, like I have a daughter who had a firstborn, and I have another daughter who does not. She had a miscarriage prior to, God forbid, her firstborn actually coming out. But that miscarriage means that the energy of the firstborn did not attach itself to the first child. Due to the merit of Israel being in Egypt, there was no family in Egypt that did not have a firstborn. And many of them had multiple firstborn, because they also attributed it to the firstborn of the father. And due to the inappropriate mechanism of the males being with females that they were not married to, many of those conceived firstborns that they hadn't realized. So the whole process, the Egyptians were singing lament, and the Jews were singing praises. All of the songs that we sing on Pesach night, Gadyah, I forget their names, so many of them, which were the praises of the end of death, all of that revelation of light that takes place on Pesach, which actually is representing Hashem coming into Egypt, destroying the firstborn and releasing the Jewish people. That duality, how does release come through death? This is something that we have difficulty as human beings in truly understanding. And that's what this verse in the Zohar is bringing to our attention for us to contemplate. Verse 8. Mem tet ha ukmuha begindi hu rashima kadisha chabala kadihu nafik v'chameha hu demad dechava rashim al hahu pidcha chayes alayhu Di Israel ahi diktiv upasach Hashem al hapetach v'gomer haka it liistakla ikudsha barichu ate v'katil biara demitzrayim v'lo shalicha achara rashima Dadi al pidcha lama v'hakola gale kamai v'hutu mehu v'lo yaten chamishchit v'lo yashchit mi ba'ele. What is the reason that they marked the blood over the door and the two side posts, the door lintel and the two side posts? It has already been explained. It is because it is a holy mark. And the angel of destruction had mercy upon Israel when he saw this blood that was marked on the opening. This is what is written. Hashem will pass over the door. We must look closely here. If the Holy One, blessed be he, and no other messenger came and slew in the land of Egypt, what is the purpose of that mark over the door opening, since all is revealed to him? In addition, what is the meaning of "and will not allow the destroyer," which means it was a messenger? It should have said "and will not destroy." There are questions in the wording of the Torah scroll that are being asked in this verse of the Zohar. And rarely, they're not asked in other places. Sometimes they are in the Talmud. Most of these I have not heard have been asked in the Talmud. But these questions are very clear. Why did we need to put the blood on the lintel and on the two sides? God knew who was a Jewish family. God knew, and God wasn't going to destroy the Jews. He wasn't going to kill the firstborn of the Jews. But the destroyer was also inbound. There was a different level. And the destroyer needed this information. But that's not what the verses are saying in the Torah scroll. God came by himself. What is this destroyer level of consciousness? Verse 9. Ela v'dai ha-ki-yu dikati v'ashem
chak-shinka. Excuse me. Yes. I always thought that the reason was so that the Jewish person would, of his own volition, say that he was Jewish. You know, by marking his house with the blood, would say, this is a Jewish household, I am a Jew. I mean, God knew who was, but you still have to affirm that you are.
That's an explanation for the mezuzah. It's not an explanation for the blood on the lintel in Egypt.
What does it mean, the blood on the lintel?
I suggest you read the redemption, the section of the Chumash in Exodus that describes the redemption, describes the leaving of Egypt.
What is the lintel? What is that word?
Lintel is the top of the door.
Right, well, why isn't that what I said correct, that it's your sign of that you are Jewish?
It's correct. It doesn't apply in Egypt. It applies afterwards when we were given the mitzvah of mezuzah. That's why people put, one of the reasons why people put a mezuzah on their door, to announce to the world that I am Jewish. But there are many other deeper reasons why someone puts a mezuzah on the door. But that reason would not apply in Egypt. Because in Egypt, the Jews did still could live separately. They lived in the area, forget the name, but the area of Egypt that dealt with animals, that was grazing property. They were living separately. Their homes were clearly identified by being in that community. There was no need to announce to the world, I am Jewish.
No, I don't agree with that. They were living in Goshen, and every
Thank you. I
Jew...
I forgot the name.
No problem. Every Jew, if he wants to avoid the angel of death, was supposed to put the blood on their door.
That's correct. And why were they supposed to do that? It had nothing to do with their free choice of announcing that they were Jewish.
What do you think it had to do with?
It's not what I think, it's what I read elsewhere in the Zohar. It had to do, there were three different types of blood that were mixed into that mixture of blood. It's a very complicated process, very complicated, involved in the six sephirot of Zeranpin, between the three bloods and the three parts of the door, the lintel and the two sides of the door, all very connected between the sephirot as a protection shield like the Star of David, which is all part of the same teaching. And it's too complicated to go into now. The explanation you gave is one that the rabbis have given over the centuries as to why people put up mezuzot on their doorway. But it doesn't apply, that explanation does not apply with respect to this first redemption. And that's the teachings of the Zohar, not mine.
But they did do it.
Yes, but the why they did it has nothing to do with your explanation. They did do it, absolutely. They put blood on the top of the door and the two outside, the right and the left side of the door. And some people even say that it wasn't on the outside, it was done on the inside of the door. That day, in Egypt.
But what is the Zohar, what's their reason?
I express to you, Jack, it's too long to explain. It relates to the Sephirot, to the six Sephirot.
Okay.
The three sides of the doorway and the three types of blood, all related to the left column and the right column.
Okay.
Continuing to read verse 9. Ela vadai hake hu diktiv dikativ vahashem hika kol bekor vahashem hu vet dino vahahu bedina haka ishtakach uv kola ba'el yachaza'a ovada Begin Lishta Zakba Deha Kegavna Da Al Gabe Mid Becha Begin Dela Ishtakach Mecha Bela. It is most certainly it is so, as it is written, and Hashem smote all the firstborn. And Hashem indicates him, Zeranpin, and his courthouse, Malchut. That courthouse is present here. Therefore, it says the destroyer. It is always imperative to show a deed below in order to awaken a corresponding one above to be saved. Because of that, it was necessary to place the blood over the door lintel and the two side posts, to arouse mercy for them above. Similar to that are the offerings on the altar. This is in order that there the destroyer shall not come there. Jack, this hints at the reason. It's saying that the reason for putting the blood on the door lintel and the two side posts is to awaken mercy. By doing this action below, it drew down mercy and avoided the death of the firstborn of the Jewish people. Because in the courthouse, in the court that Hashem sits on, the court that takes place every night for every human being, that court decides. And the prosecutor said, what's the difference between the Jews who sin and the Egyptians who sin? Why are they being killed? The Egyptians and the Jews are being let out. And the answer was, Hashem chose to give mercy to his firstborn, who is the Jewish nation, and to punish the Egyptians for the way they had treated his firstborn. And yet the Jews had to be in Egypt to grow into a nation. As it says, 70 people of the Jews went down to Egypt, and 3 million approximately went out. And that was in a period of, 200 years, 210 years. You can do the math. It's an awful lot of people. Verse 10. Hai biovada uzimna dila yitzirich hai kegon rosh hashana dihu yoma dedina umarechon delishana Bishak, I mean, Alayhu, Di Israel, Bianan, Milin, Selotin, Uvautin, Uvaanan, Viachaza, Ovada, Kima, De Ukimna, Vihait, Mar, Uvma, Bashofar, Leat, Ara, Shofra, Achara, Vianan, Mefikin Behahu Kala Rachame Vede Dina Kahada Kola Kidka Kema Dehahu Shofar Ila Apikala Dihu Kalala Kahana Ulatara De Rachame Kaazlehnan Utabera Marehon de Dina Delayish Latun Behayoma Vekad Rachame Mitarin Kulhu Betbutsinin Ilain Naharin Mehai Gisa Umehai Gisa kedain beor kifne pene melechaim. This is by means of a deed, meaning offerings. When it is not needed, for example, on Rosh Hashanah, which is the day of judgment, which those of wicked tongues stand ready to denounce Israel, it is not sufficient to give mere offerings. Speech is required, that is, prayers and petitions. It is necessary to demonstrate deeds, as we have explained. And we learned with what these must be demonstrated. It is with the shofar, in order to invoke another shofar, which is Bina. We produce through the sound of this shofar mercy and judgment together, all as is required. This is just like that highest shofar, which is Bina, that emitted a sound, which is Zeranpin, which is Tiferet, which is Zeranpin, is inclusive of Hesed, judgment, and mercy. To awaken mercy, we awaken with the blowing of the shofar, and to break down the prosecutors so that they shall have no dominion on that day. When mercy is awakened, all the upper luminaries, excuse me, the Sephirot illuminate from this side and from that side, meaning from the right and the left. Then in the light of the king's countenance is life. A verse from Mishlei. This verse is explaining again, because elsewhere in the Zohar, it explains why we blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, and why it's not sufficient just to bring an offering, just to bring a sacrifice. But on shofar, the judgment is more in depth, more complete. And it is necessary to blow the shofar below to awaken mercy, to awaken Bina above. And the purpose of the shofar is much more involved than just what I've expressed, or that's expressed in this verse from the Zohar. But it's explaining or bringing this information in this portion of Bahalot Ha, because we are connecting to Bina through the lighting of the menorah. Verse 11. Tachatzi b'sha'ata d'chachana itaka ven liad l'ka butzinin l'tata b'hava kariv k'torat k'toret busbin b'hahu sha'ata k'dein butzinin ilayin nacharin v'itkatar kola Kachada v'chadu v'tadvavta ishtakach b'kulhu Almin ha-hidiktiv, shemen b'katorah, yisamach leviad b'achalotcha et hanerot. Come and behold, the priest intended to light the lamps below and brought the offering of spiced incense. During that moment, the upper candles are shining, that is the sefirot, and everything connects together. Happiness and gladness prevail in all the worlds, and it is written, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. Therefore it is written, when you kindle the lamps. This verse is bringing all of the information that we just read about Bina and the six sefirot and malchut and the lighting of candles and the high priest. All of this information is being brought into completion in this 11th verse, having to describe the actions of the high priest in lighting the menorah. Does anybody have any questions or comments? I invite you to join us tomorrow at 10 a.m. West Coast time, 11 a.m. in Salt Lake, 1 p.m. in New York, for a class on the Hebrew prayers and the Kavanah involved. And if you don't join us then, there are many other classes to join us during the week. You can find them in the class list link on the first page of the Yeshem website. Everybody have a beautiful week. Enjoy the week. It's still Sivan.
Thank you.
Kol Tov.